All right, let me open us in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for the body of Christ that you have called us, Lord, out of darkness and into Christ. And when you call us into Christ, Lord, you call us into his body. And I thank you, Lord, that you've, as a body, we've been called into the mission of our head, from whom the body receives its life. And I pray that you would use our Sunday school time, or this hour, to equip us for the ministry to which the whole body's been called, to the mission. Lord, that we, even as you, Lord Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost, that we would express your heart. We would have your heart in that. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our time now, our conversation, and that it would equip us for the specific works, Lord, that you have prepared for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Yeah. So, it's okay. Okay. I got it. No problem. Yeah. Okay. So, if you didn't get a handout last week, or if you'd like one, because we're going to finish the second part of this lesson, I handed these out so you could take notes, because I know it's people. So raise your hand if you'd like one. There you go. You're welcome. All right, there you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Yep. All right. I have one more. Yeah? Okay. All right. And if you need a pen, just raise your hand and it'll get passed around. Oh yeah, that's right. Can you grab me the stacks of tracks? Yeah. Okay, so if you have a question, just remind me, because I'm just going to forget. I'll make the announcement now. Someone remind me or raise their hand or something. Maybe Rich will. If you have a question or a comment, you need this microphone. Not because we can't hear you, but because the mic, the recording won't pick it up. And Dominic's recording it, and there's some people asked to get the recording of the class. So Rich is going to help remind me, and then you guys can help remind Rich if he forgets. There you go. Thank you. So last week, we started talking about evangelistic context, and we discussed that question, right, talking about two basic evangelism contexts, cold evangelism and relationship evangelism. Cold evangelism being, it's sharing Christ in the first time, maybe an only time encounter. Street evangelism is kind of like a typical version or typical example of cold evangelism, where you're handing out tracts to people walking by and starting conversations, gospel conversations to share Christ. Door-to-door can be cold evangelism. Relationship evangelism is sharing Christ in the context of an ongoing relationship. It could be a relative, a neighbor, coworker, someone that you have regular contact with. And so we ask the question, which type of evangelism should we, as a church, and last week I remind you that by saying we, that includes you, what kind of evangelism should we be engaged in? The cold evangelism or relationship evangelism? And then we talked about both. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Both and. Now last week we spent our time talking about cold evangelism. And I gave an apologetic for cold evangelism because a lot of Christians find that challenging. And I find, even among pastors that I speak with, I hear, well, you know, the cold evangelism, you know, door-to-door, that kind of, it doesn't work anymore. You know, maybe that worked. Maybe open-air preaching worked in, and going out to the marketplace worked in Paul's day in the New Testament. But we're in a different time, different culture. It doesn't work anymore. We need to, you got to share Christ in with people you have relationships with, you know, long-term relationships with. So that's what we hear. So there's a need for us to have, and maybe we can even ourselves, we can profess, say, yeah, I know there's a place for cold evangelism. That's not for me. But there's a place for cold evangelism in the church. But in our hearts, we kind of we come up with all those things. If we have the opportunity, it's all those things. Oh, well, you know, no, it doesn't work today. And people, so last week we talked about why cold evangelism, why it's important today. And number one, we talked about faithfulness to Jesus. You're being faithful to Christ and his command to go make disciples. To go, Matthew 28. And interesting, he doesn't say, wait around and make this a go. In other words, there is an aspect in which the church has to move towards people. And so faithfulness to Jesus. Secondly, you're investing in the greater harvest by sowing the seed of the word. And we talked about how when you share just with the stranger, you're something of Christ, right? You're sowing a gospel seed. And I gave examples of people who have sowed, and then I or friends had the opportunity to water those or even harvest because they had someone else in their life who had shared the gospel with them. So we're sowing into the harvest. And one thing I just want to note about that too, our culture needs to become a word-saturated culture. We are more and more post-Christian. I meet people more often. I'm meeting people who have never been to church before, never been to a worship service in their life, never read the Bible. I've met people here in America who've grown up in America who've never heard about God creating the world in 6 days out of nothing, never heard of the Trinity, right? People growing up in America. And I think one of the ways that the principalities and powers over the present age, present darkness, in America have worked through keeping the word of God out of the consciousness of people. And one of the ways that happens is this culture has been created where saying things that are religious, you know, that's offensive, it's a private thing. You keep it to yourself and to your closest trusted friends. You can talk about it, but you keep it out. More and more the word of God, but there's power, right, in the word. We need to become more and more of a word-saturated culture. And so as you, in cold evangelism, right, you're putting the word out there. Thirdly, cold evangelism strengthens you spiritually. And we saw Ephesians 6:15. Evangelism is actually part of the armor of God. And this is one of the things that started when I was a seminarian and did my first summer-long internship at the Boardwalk Chapel in 2014. Just through sharing the gospel with people and articulating it every night for a summer, I saw how much I was strengthened spiritually. And since that time, over the last 12 years, I'm constantly strengthened. And I can be just feeling weak in my faith. I could be feeling down, low, you know, all these things, struggling with different things. And when I open my mouth to share the gospel with someone and just start articulating the truths of the gospel, when you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit is preaching to you through your own mouth. And all of a sudden, these truths become more real, in a sense, right? Present to the heart and start. So Ephesians I began to recognize, wow, evangelism is critical to the health of individual believers and to the church corporately. And that's part of my passion for evangelism has come out of a pastoral burden. But it strengthens you spiritually, right? Be strong, stand in the strength of his might, putting on the full armor of God. And part of the armor is the gospel shoes, having your feet shod with the readiness. And the way the ESV translates it, it supplies words that are not there in the Greek. And there's a question, well, how did the two phrases relate? So you have to make an interpretive decision. The ESV says, having your feet shod with the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And that's true. The gospel gives us that readiness. But I believe a more accurate translation, and I'm not the only one, there's other commentators who, is a readiness to give the gospel of peace. I think that that's a subjective, not an objective genitive there in the verse. And why do I say that? Because that the connection of feet and the gospel is always in the context of heralding and proclaiming. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach, right, good news, that's gospel, who preach tidings of peace. And it's interesting, in Ephesians he says the gospel of peace. And then Paul quotes it again in Romans. And then pieces of armor in that passage are explicitly drawn from Isaiah, from which we see the feet, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring tidings. And I think that's readiness. They're always ready to give an answer for the hope, the reason for the hope. And what's the answer? It's that Jesus died and rose again. It's the gospel. That's the answer. So a readiness to give the gospel peace. And when you go out and you do cold evangelism, when you do evangelism at all, you know, it's you're putting your gospel shoes on, and it strengthens you. You start developing the gospel fluency, and which ties us into the fourth reason. It prepares for the fourth reason for cold evangelism. It prepares you for gospel conversations in your long-term relationships, your ongoing relationships. Colossians 4:6, right? So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer each person. The more, right, is your speech, you're practicing speaking words of grace that are laced with the gospel, speaking of Christ, and you're engaging. Now you're more ready. That's one of the reasons I'm a big proponent of, you know, I've shared before, I think every Christian should be trained and equipped in evangelism. Not every Christian has, you know, has a gift, necessarily a specific gift of evangelism, and certainly not every Christian is called to the office of evangelist. But we're all called to evangelize, and so even, all right, if you're a parent, you need to be called, you need to be able to evangelize your children, to share the gospel to them. We are called to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And in at the core of that, encouraging and teaching and admonishing one another, although Hebrews, encourage one another while still called today, right? And at the heart of the encouragement needs to be the gospel. And so the more we're articulating in our mouths, the more we're ready. And I've found just in the conversations I've had with friends that I have, my ongoing relationships, my experience in just having gospel conversations with people on the street, on the boardwalk, you know, in the parks, has given me sharpness and greater readiness to not only see gospel doors with my friends and neighbors, but and facility in taking those. So, and then lastly, why cold evangelism? God's word and spirit has power everywhere. Romans 1:16. Acts 17:34. And I shared, I think the number one, the number one reason, I shared that the first couple years I was doing, you know, sort of daily evangelism in Wildwood, 10, 12 years ago, I didn't hand out tracts. I could talk to people because, you know, I enjoy talking with people. I can have a conversation with somebody. So, I, you know, I'm doing better. But God convicted me, and I shared how I didn't hand out tracts because I was too cool, right? Oh, those are those, you know, those weirdo extremist, you know, evangelist types. And that's not me, you know. But then hearing so many testimonies, when you work in ministries like the Boardwalk Chapel, where you meet, you know, thousands of people every year, and hundreds of Christians would come up, oh, this is awesome, you know, oh, let me share my testimony, let me encourage you. After hearing enough testimonies that involved someone giving them a tract. In fact, so I shared, yeah, the guy's like, I'm Jewish, you know, thanks. And then finally, it's my coworker, he left tracts on my desk, and I picked up one. There was another guy, last summer, we were doing some evangelism, and one of the adults, or one of the chaperones with the Harvest OPC Grand Rapids Youth Group, he was with two others, they were handing out some tracts. They had a sign and handing out tracts, and he said this guy in his, like, maybe 40s or 50s comes up to him with a big smile, and Jim, my friend from Grand Rapids, said, I'm guessing I don't need to give you a tract because it looks like you already love Jesus. And the guy said, oh, man, I do. He's my savior. And he said, I just want to tell you guys, this is awesome what you're doing. He said, when I was a kid, I think he was like 13, 14. He said, I was walking down the street, and there was this woman who was like with some other people doing sharing the gospel on a street corner and handing out tracts and talking to people. And she stopped me and talked to me and gave me a tract. And I went home, and I said, it was like my eyes got opened, and I saw God for the first time. And he went home, and he's talking to his mom. He's like, you know, still like kind of tearing because, and his mom's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I just met God, you know. And here he is, you know, decades later, a Christian. He says, man, I wish I could find that woman and just tell her how she impacted me eternally. God's word has power. God's word has power. And I think the number one reason we don't share the gospel, and I'm speaking from personal experience, right? I've given you some of my confessions. I think the number one reason, yeah, for me, and I think for most people, is that we don't believe in the power of the word of God. We do believe, but we don't. Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's part of the sanctification and growing. Say, no, there's power in God's word. And so I'm going to speak it not in a shame, but in trust that God is going to use his word. So those are why cold evangelism. And so a couple of, I just want to give a couple of action items before we turn to relationship evangelism. Number one, I'm going to be doing some just evangelism down, well, I'm going to give you three opportunities. Yeah, even four. Okay, number one, if you're interested in coming with me in the neighborhood, just visiting some people, either some new doors or following up with some people that we've talked to before, reach out to me and we'll set up a time, maybe an afternoon, a weekday, or maybe on a Saturday when you're free. And you can come along, and you can see. Number two, this Saturday and Saturday, May 9th, I'm going to be doing some evangelism more in downtown Bridgeton, handing out tracts, talking with people, and we may do some door-to-door. I've got a pastor friend who's up, this is about an hour from here, Reformed Presbyterian minister, who's an evangelist. He's got a ministry for years called Reformed Parish Evangelism. He does a lot of door-to-door and has started Bible studies, and he's also a fluent. He's American, but speaks Spanish fluently, so he'll be joining us on May 9th and offered. He said, hey, if you ever want me to come down and just help you out with the ministry in Bridgeton, I'd love to. So if you have time, come out. That's number two. Number three, the session, New Hope session, is going to kind of organize one or two days, either an afternoon or an evening, or I think one of each, to go down to the Boardwalk Chapel this summer. Come, Make it a priority. Put it on your calendar. Come. And you get to join our staff with students who have been sharing the gospel all summer, seminary interns. Got a couple of evangelism fellows or ordained evangelists, myself, who are doing the ministry, and you can come along with us. And you don't even have to, we won't even make you say anything. Just come along as a prayerful observer and just listen. Now, half the time, you know, I always tell people, just listen, just come and observe. And half the people, after about 30 minutes, they say, wow, these people have actually. And you will see that there are more people that are open than you realize to the gospel. There are people who are lost and seeking for answers, wandering around out there, who maybe don't have Christian friends, or maybe have a Christian friend that's afraid to talk to them about Christ. But it's on their mind. They're thinking. There are people out there who are thinking of these things, and they will come up to you and say, hey, I want to talk about it. Tell me about God. How do I get rid of this guilt I have? And how does a person get right with God? Anyway, so you just come as you can be an observer. But you might see the Spirit stirring in you, and you start to talk and think, wow, I was talking to this person about the gospel. So come. And then lastly, I ordered some tracts that are, we're keeping stacked here on the back table there. These are published by the OPC, written by Eric Watkins, and who's gifted church planner and evangelist. He's going to be he's the other speaker at our evangelism conference in Wildwood in August. But pick one up on your way out, and you can take one of each if you'd like. Actually, I recommend taking one of each. You can read through them. You don't want to give out a tract if you've never read it yourself. You don't know what's in there, right? But these are excellent. And we put on the back of them a little sticker with New Hope's information service time. But one of the things I love about these tracts, it talks about the gospel very clearly. But it also gives a clear invitation. It's kind of like a starter tract. It invites people to come to a church to learn more about a Christ. And then you've got the information for New Hope on the back here. But you can kind of look through each, and if you're having a conversation with someone, and you might think, oh, this one might be a good one. So there's this guy, Christian. We don't have time. I'm going to mention him as one of the illustrations in the sermon tonight, so I'll save it for that. What I challenge you to do is to take one and to give it to somebody. And pray this week that God would give you someone to give it to this week. This week. It could be a person in the gas who's taking your gas. Pumping your gas. Like I said, I was like, oh, I'm not the tract kind of guy. Now,
used to be uncool like you.
Yeah, that's right. But I love giving out tracts because the Lord in His mercy has like convicted me and has just strengthened my faith in His word. And you're just friendly with people, right? How you doing? You just talk to people and they see that you're friendly. And then you say, when you give tracts, this we talk about, when we do training on street evangelism, I say, when you give a tract to somebody, you have to give that. You've got to have faith in your own heart and the power of and the power of God's word. Because if you're like, well, hey, just wondering if I could. I know you probably. Sorry, if this is offensive, and you probably don't want. But would you? Okay, yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, have a nice day. Right? You say, hey, this is a gift for you. It's the greatest news in the world. God bless you. Do you believe this is the greatest news in the world? Christ, God who came in flesh to seek and to save the lost, to redeem us from sin and death, to transform us into the image of God, to take out our heart, right? To awaken us to who He is, to take our sins on His cross, to shed the blood which reconciles us with the one who made us, who created us, so we could be in fellowship with Him, which is eternal life. Been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is amazing. So preach the gospel to yourself, right? Preach it to one another. And then hand it to somebody with conviction. Or just with a note. You know, you leave a tip. You're at the restaurant. You're leaving a tip. And leave it with a tract. But make sure you leave a generous tip. But, you know, you're friendly with somebody, you know, that you're just meeting for the first time, probably the last time. But say, hey, it's great meeting you. Can I give you something? I think it'll bless you. This is the greatest, you know, here's a gift for you. It's amazing. It's about what God has done for people like you and me. It's amazing, right? All right, so there's your assignment. You take one or take all three. You read and then pray for an opportunity to give it out. And then I like to just keep it in my car or just have it ready. So if I'm in a conversation with somebody on the bus or whatever, and then I have something that I can leave with them. All right. So now, cold evangelism. So relationship evangelism. Relationship evangelism. Sharing Christ in the context of ongoing relationships. Now, before we talk about, I don't need to give an apologetic for sharing Christ in relationships, because I think everybody knows we should be sharing Christ with the people we have ongoing relationships with. But what I'm going to first do is discuss here, talk about what are the challenges of each type of evangelism. So the relationship evangelism, like you have a relationship with these people. Like it could be people you went to school with. It could be classmates that you have. It's neighbors, coworkers, relatives, you know, a cousin, sibling. These are people you have ongoing relationships with. Let's talk first about the challenges of cold evangelism, okay? A cold evangelism. Relationship. Okay. What are the challenges of cold evangelism that are unique to cold evangelism? First time encounter, maybe an only time encounter. You've got to be very intentional, right? So think door to door. You're handing out tracts on the street. Okay. Okay, how to start? It's interesting because this is actually can be a challenge in the relationship as well. But what's just knowing how to? Do you mean like kind of knowing how to start? Okay.
Having the courage first to knock on the door.
Okay.
And knowing how to start the conversation.
Okay. 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 Good. So you kind of have to sort of learn how to start. Good. Yep. That's a challenge. And that's something, and that's where coming out, again, coming out with, this is why I'm urging all the churches in our presbytery to take a week at the Boardwalk Chapel, because you can come down for a week in the summer, or just to send their people to, you know, even short-term training. This is why I like to take people out. Want to take you guys, want you guys to come out with me, Bridgeton, door-to-door, so you can observe and learn, and you kind of learn by example. But, and if we have time, we'll talk a little bit more about maybe some specific ways to get things started in our course here. Any other challenges to cold evangelism that makes it more challenging in your mind than relationship evangelism? Yeah, Tracy. Oh, sorry.
You don't know the person you're talking to.
Okay. Okay. Talking to strangers, right, is a little intimidating. How many people find it easier to talk with somebody you already know than to start a conversation with a stranger? How many people find it easier to start a conversation with a stranger than someone that you already have a relationship with? Okay, yeah. Okay, one or two, yeah. I think, but for most people, right, just talking with somebody you don't know is hard. Good. Any other challenges? Yeah.
Not knowing what their reaction is going to be.
Yeah. right? With the relationship, you kind of know the person, so sometimes you have a sense of how they might respond. Even then, sometimes you don't know people as well as you think. But yeah, not knowing, right, how to respond, right? So, how they will respond. There, okay. How they respond, right?
Yeah.
It's scary. What's going to happen? And that was when I first started doing street evangelism. I went once when I was in college, and then, then like 10 years later, I went out of the boardwalk, on the boardwalk there, 2012, 2013, and I was like, okay, I'm totally expecting, 90% of the people to start getting offended, to get angry, and tell me to, whatever. We don't know how they're going to respond, so it's scary. Good. What are the... what are the dangers of cold evangelism? Well, let me just stop for a moment. I'm gonna come back to this. Hold that thought. I'm gonna come back. So let's talk a little bit about relationship evangelism. Relationship evangelism, you have ongoing relationships with. Now, one of the challenges in relationship evangelism, and you hear, people talk about relational evangelism. They talk about, you need to build a relationship with someone, and you need to establish that trust before. And I've heard people tell me this, you don't want to bring Jesus up until you've established this trust with the person, until you really know them, and you've put in this relational capital. And now you can, bring Jesus up. And maybe that's a year or two. You're just kind of working, developing this relationship before you bring up Jesus. Now, there's an element of truth to that. And we'll talk about the element in just a moment. But the problem with that is that very often, most of the time, I would say, that's actually being driven by fear. I don't want to bring up Jesus now because then there'll be a wall, they'll write me off, the relationship is done. So we keep building relationship with them. But what happens is the more relational capital you've built in, now the more you have to risk. And now that we're close friends, if I bring up Jesus and they get offended, now I'm losing this friendship that's more important to me than it was when I first met the person. Now it becomes harder and harder to bring up Jesus. And then when you finally do, say, hey, I just want to let you know, I've been meaning to share this for years. I want to talk to you about the most important thing in my life. It's a matter of eternal life and death. All right? At the end of the day, the only thing that truly matters is where you stand with Jesus. And the person saying, wait, you've known me for 2 years, and you're saying this is the most important thing to you in your life, and this is a matter of life and death, and you're just now sharing this with me? Is this actually the most important thing in your life? Do you really believe? I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, Penn Jillette. He's a magician. He's an atheist, agnostic atheist, like a magician. Kind of well-known online. But a pastor friend of mine sent me this clip of him talking. And he said, and he was sharing the story of this guy. He's like, I was at this magic show after a show one time. I was signing autographs, and he had a line of people, the line to say hi and just, kind of autographs, whatever. And I saw this one guy who's standing in the back. And Penn Jillette is like 6'7" or something. He's a big guy. He's another guy. He's like as big as I was. But he was kind of hovering around. And when people are hovering like that, sort of just back, sort of moving around, they want to talk. I know that they want to talk with me. So he was kind of waiting until the line got down. Well, he comes up to me and he just says, Ben, I want to say I've just been a fan of your magic for years. And as Father, I'm a kind of an amateur magician myself, but I love what you're doing. Just really appreciate it, and just thank you for, the entertainment and your work. And he said, I just wanted to give you a gift here, and it was a little New Testament. And he said, he just shared, this is like the most important thing, and you know, I want you to know Jesus, and so this is, you know, please accept this gift for me. So, Penn took it. He's still an atheist, but he said, this guy, you know, he was very kind and just so genuine. Like, there was just a genuineness. I could tell he really cared about me because he really believed what he believed. I don't believe it, but I could tell he really believed it. And so he wanted to care for me. And then Penn Gillette makes this comment, this atheist. I've never had respect for Christians that, are afraid to talk about their faith or talk about, you know, heaven, because he said, if you really believe in the reality of judgment, heaven, and hell, you know, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them? It's like, if I was standing, you know, if I saw someone standing in front of a truck, a Mack truck that's coming, I wouldn't want to run and, like, push him out. So that was really convicting when I read this. But I think there's a truth to that. Do we really, you know, believe these things? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean we, don't talk to somebody. We never say anything except, you know, hey, you're going, you know, you better repent and believe in Jesus. There's wisdom and there's ways of doing that. But I think the core of that is true. Just grasping the realities of these things and sharing the gospel is about loving people and wanting to share the hope of the gospel with people. So, so the challenge of relationship evangelism is there's a lot more risk. And that's actually, part of the advantage of cold evangelism is that there's not a lot of relational risk, right? Low risk, so to speak. If the person gets offended by what you say because they have an issue with God, you know, and they write you off, well, you're not going to see them again. So it makes it, you know, easier in a sense. but one of the challenges, a lot more relationally to lose. So what's the key? The key to relationship evangelism and the key to cold evangelism, really to evangelism in both contexts. Here's the key. bold speaking, and persistent love. Bold speaking and persistent love. And I'm going to add wise here. Bold, wise speaking. And persistent, and I'm going to add genuine, love. Romans 1:16 here. Romans 1:16. God, it's the power of God in salvation, speaking boldly, believing the power of God's salvation. Colossians 4:6, right? With wisdom, grace, the right words for each person, and the persistent, genuine love. Romans 12, is that? 12:9. 1 Corinthians 13. You can be the most brilliant apologist, the boldest evangelist, but if you don't have love, you're a noisy gong. And that love has got to be genuine. It's not, well, I'm going to be nice to you as long as I think that you might come to my church, but as soon as it's clear, you know, yeah, forget you. That's not genuine love, right? No, genuine love. And persistent and consistent, genuine love. It's a bold, wise speaking, persistent, genuine love. And this is, don't be ashamed of who you are. If Christ is the most important thing to your life, and that gospel, just as we're hearing this morning, is really in your heart and it's changing you every day, you're experiencing the power of Christ in you as he's exposing, right, through the word. He's sanctifying you from sin, and you're more and more experiencing, right, the life of Christ in you and its glory. Boy, you want others to come into that, and that'll come out naturally. Talking to Hassan, who's works at the Christian Family Diner, from Turkey, he's Muslim, and he said, you always seem. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm good." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, you have to be." I said, "You're always good." "Yeah, you're always good, huh?" He said, "Well, you know, you have to be. You gotta, like, it's a decision to, you know." And he said, "Are you good?" I said, "Yeah, I'm doing well." And he said, "Yeah, you always seem like you're doing. You always have a smile or something like that. You always seem to like be at peace or have joy." Or I can't remember exactly the way he put it. I said, "Yeah, do you know why that is? It's because Jesus, I have Jesus in me." Simple word, right? There's a little bit of relationship there because I see him, you know, once or twice a week now, and smile and just, right, mentioning Jesus. Yeah.
A lot of times, a lot of people have a ring, and if you have a rehearsed, you know, something rehearsed, then you could speak to that, and a lot of people, they share that, and then you could leave the track, you know, because a lot of times people won't answer, you know, if they have a ring, and, you know, they're like always eager to share different things to, you know, there's this guy in my neighborhood, and he's doing this, and, you know, so... You know, that's something great to look for.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you. Utilizing technology. That's great. So, relationship evangelism. A bold, wise speaking. I'll just kind of give you an example here. Bold, wise speaking, and persistent, consistent, genuine love. That is the key. This was the character of Jesus' earthly ministry. And it's the character of his ministry through us as we imitate him. 1 Corinthians 11:1. So I think those two things are so important to keep in mind. Bold speaking, right? Bold, wise speaking, persistent, consistent, genuine love. When I was teaching at Laurel Springs, I moved about 5 minutes from the school. It was in Stratford Classical Christian Academy. And there was another teacher that started teaching there the year that I moved near that school. So we got a house together. We lived together for 5 years. It's one of my best friends now. But when we first moved there, we started praying, like, "Lord, use us to be a witness to our neighbors." Right? Use us to be a witness. Well, after about 6 months, we realized, wait a minute. Like, we keep praying for our neighbors, but what are we actually doing, you know, to be a witness to our neighbors? So, like, yeah, let's have a block party. So we just knocked on the neighbors' doors. "Hey, we want to do a block party." "Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, if you want to use our yard, we could do that." And "Oh, yeah, that's great. I can bring, I smoke venison. I'll bring some of that." So now we got these, like, you know, it's about 5 houses of people that got around, and we started getting to know people. And from the get-go, you know, Ross and I were very open about the fact that we're Christians, and so we weren't shy about it. But we were developing real relationships with the people. So it wasn't like, "Oh, you guys are Christians. We don't talk to Christians." Okay, they know we're Christians. So, you know, we were bold about it. But also that the persistent, consistent, genuine love. Then we start inviting them over for dinner. They would invite us over. Hey, they knock on the door. Chris, Marcia has got some extra. She's been making such and such a stew, and I just got this nice, real nice like $10. It's a nice bottle of wine. You guys want to come over? Oh, okay, we'll come. And just developing relationships with them. But again, not hiding the fact we're Christians and praying for open doors and talking about the Lord. And God would open up opportunities for us to do that. A couple years into it, they had grandsons that would come up in the summers. And the one grandson, the first summer they came up, we were there playing baseball in the backyard with them, wiffle ball. They're like high school age, early high school, And Ross, who had just come from a summer at the Borough Chapel, was very gospel fluency. So we're sharing, just sharing the gospel with these kids. They're playing and, talking to them very, very openly. But anyway, the next summer they come and we were praying for them through the year. The next summer they came, the younger two had been baptized and had become members of their church, like down in Georgia. And then the older grandson, who was in later high school, ended up moving in with them. He had some issues. With getting in trouble with the law, drugs. So grandma, takes him in. And I remember one time we were talking, I would be coming home from work, from teaching. Okay, I've got grading to do later tonight, and I just want to relax. And so I'd come in, and I'd see PJ out on the grandson on the porch. And I think, I just want to go in and just like relax, do my own thing. I don't want to get into a conversation with him. So I would like park closer to the, as close as I could to the house, and then open the door and just kind of like sneak in so he didn't see me. So I didn't have to look like I was like, avoiding him, but I didn't have to talk with him. Well, after a couple months, Ross and I were praying, we're talking, Lord, we pray that you would, just work in PJ's life, that you'd save him. We know he's got issues, and then all of a sudden the Spirit's convicting us. Wait a minute. How are we loving him? Are we being instruments of Christ? So after a little conviction and start talking with him. Anyway, but as you're building these relationships, right, they see that you love, that you love them. And when people know you're a Christian and they see your genuine love, people, they'll start approaching you when things start going south. And we've seen that in Manny's and his family. Just that love. I remember one time, Ross and I had a garden out back, vegetables, so I'm out. And then the next year, Barry and Marcia made vegetable garden in their backyard right next to us. And by the way, Barry is like agnostic. He's a retired history teacher. His wife, Marcia, is culturally Jewish, probably agnostic more. But I go out there to work, and I see him coming out to work on his. And I was like, okay, I think he wants to talk. It's kind of like, how's it going? How's it going, Chris? It's going well. How are you doing, Barry? Oh, not great. Marcia's at the end of her rope. PJ left, took her credit card, spent $1,000 on who knows what, and we just don't know what to do. I don't know if you have any advice or, what do we do? I've heard of this place called Ranch Hope down in South Jersey. They actually take in. It's a Christian organization, but they take in. Here's the name of it. Well, they ended up sending him to Ranch Hope. And there he's learning about the gospel. And when he came back, he'd come back and he'd talk about what he was learning here in the gospel. And we got to build on that more. But that persistent, consistent love. You just love people. And then you look for open doors, and you share. All right. Well, we're going to end there. Next time, we'll talk about. We'll finish this up by talking about just some other important principles, and get some nuts and bolts about some more nuts and bolts on sharing in both evangelistic context. So, let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you, we want to be instruments of the Lord Jesus and his work. And so I pray, Lord, that you would fill us as a church with his power, with the Holy Spirit, and that you would make us a people, Lord, wise and bold and speaking the truth with conviction, Lord, and that you would give us grace to love people genuinely and persistently, Lord, that as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life, and as he calls us daily to take up the cross, that you would give us grace to die to our own self-centered agendas, and that we would be totally, Lord, abandoned to your will. Because we know, Lord, that's where true joy and life is found. So give us that grace, give us opportunities, open doors, Lord, even this week, to speak about Christ, we ask in his name. Amen.